And the Lord Jesus is our great commander tonight. And he is saying to his church, be resolved to hold fast that which thou hast. Now, what do we have? What is it that we have tonight that we are to hold fast unto? Well, we have the Bible. We're to hold the Bible fast. Don't pay fast and loose. Don't give in to modernism. Don't give in to liberalism. Don't give in to the modern subjective approach of the Bible is your opinion versus my opinion. The Bible is book, chapter, and verse. God said it. I believe it. Therefore, I obey it.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today. This is a wonderful opportunity to spend time in God's Word, and I trust that wherever you are, you will open your Bible with us. We're turning again to another letter of the Lord to the churches. This time it is the letter to the church at Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love. And I hope that you will join with me as I read this message to the church. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Here in this passage we learn that the church of the Lord Jesus is in a battle. A battle against the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. And so while this is a letter to Philadelphia, it applies to us. We better take it to heart too, because every gospel church is in a battle. We're in a battle against the devil, the world, and the flesh. We're in a battle against error and against every false religion. One of the marks of false religion is works theology, that man can better himself and make himself more acceptable to God. That is a lie. It's the devil's lie. And of course, the gospel good news is that God saves men. Sinners are saved by the grace of God. It is a gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we take this to heart as God's word and God's message. And I hope that today that you will stay tuned with us as we look here at this book of Revelation, this letter to the church at Philadelphia, and that it will be a personal word to your heart that will make you to realize God is speaking today to his people to turn and to be overcomers against every form of temptation. So stay tuned as we let the Bible speak from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale.
And here is the experience that the church should expect. And this is what we should be praying for. And we should be weeping and lamenting, Lord, you must do it in our day and generation. Our children, our neighbors, our community is perishing in their sins. Lord, we need to see blasphemers. We need to see the wicked brought to the feet of Christ and to be changed by the grace of God in the gospel. Then also they experienced the love of the Lord. Now, we have looked at that already, but we can't go over this one at the end of verse 9. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Now, who knows this? That's those converts from the synagogue of Satan who are brought to sit at the feet of these apostles or preachers, and they also experience the love of the Lord that this church is enjoying. And that becomes the testimony that God is in you. In Colossians 1:6 we read, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. That God is in you. Have you ever had anyone say that to you? God is in you. That's a great testimony to have. And that's the testimony that a church can enjoy. God is in you. When the early apostles were persecuted and they counted it all joy to suffer, the people took note that they had been with Jesus. That was their experience and their testimony. We move to verse 10, and you will see that they experience the keeping power of the Lord. The keeping power of the Lord. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Now, this hour wasn't far away. If you go over to Revelation 6 and verse 9, you will see the horrendous things ahead of God's people. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell upon the earth? And the Lord is going to keep his people in the midst of this persecution. Who can deny the keeping power of the Lord? Every one of us is a candidate to fall flat on our face. The Lord warns, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. One wrong word, one wrong action, one response in a bad mood of temper, and we just blow our testimony as a Christian, and the devil gets the advantage. And yet the miraculous thing is that everyone whom Christ saves, whom he washes in his blood, and he gives them his spirit, everyone makes it home to glory. We are kept by the power of God through faith. Or as Jude puts it, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the Lord in glory. That's the work of grace. And here is this church in Philadelphia, these Christians who were being kept because they were being faithful unto the Lord. Does it matter? Does it matter if you are a part of a church that is worldly, or a part of a church that doesn't care about the Word of God, or doesn't care about the name of Jesus? Why do you seek a church that is faithful? Because you will be kept, and you will enjoy and experience the keeping power of the Lord, because this is God's way. He puts you into his nursery. He puts you into his place of care, where you're shepherded and where you're nurtured in the faith. And that's God's way of keeping his people. Oh, that we could join the church at Philadelphia and be kept and be a part of a ministry with God's favor and with God's blessing. We come now to verse 11 and to the resolve of the church which God will use. It says here, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Here is another announcement. Behold, the Lord's announcing to his church that it's not over till it's over. The battle is not ended. Behold, I come quickly. And that is the high expectation of the Lord's church. And we are all to be resolved that we be found faithful when the Lord returns. And for that, he has not set the date. He has not told us the date. He has not given us the groundwork for that appearance. But he wants us to be found busy in his kingdom, watching and waiting for his glorious appearing. And then he says, you are to be resolved to hold fast. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And so the church is to be resolved. We have a purpose for ministry, a purpose to serve and to proclaim the gospel, because we are looking forward to the final victory. This reminds me of General Patton standing on the top of a U.S. military tank as he gives his scrum to his soldiers. And of course, he is the general, cannot be in every position in the front of the war. There are many battle fronts, but he is saying to his troops, hold fast till I come. And the Lord Jesus is our great commander tonight. And he is saying to his church, be resolved to hold fast that which thou hast. Now, what do we have? What is it that we have tonight that we are to hold fast unto? Well, we have the Bible. We're to hold the Bible fast. Don't pay fast and loose. Don't give in to modernism. Don't give in to liberalism. Don't give in to the modern subjective approach of the Bible is your opinion versus my opinion. The Bible is book, chapter, and verse. God said it. I believe it. Therefore, I obey it. Hold fast. That's the word of the Lord here. We also have the gospel, the good news of the mercy of God in Christ. We have the message that the world is desperately in need of. It is the balm of Gilead for the sin-sick souls of men. And we must not give it up. It is the only message that will bring a sinner out of the gutter and bring him to the uttermost in glory. From the guttermost to the uttermost. What else do we have that we must hold fast? We have the Holy Spirit. When the Lord left his church, he said, I give unto you another comforter. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And of course, he sent the Holy Spirit, who will testify of me, and he shall glorify me. And the church was to wait at Pentecost until they were endued with power from on high when the Holy Ghost descended. And as the church was faithful, the Holy Spirit was given to empower. And we must hold fast that we have the power and enabling of God, the Holy Spirit, because without his presence and his unction, what are we? Just clay vessels, weak as water, unable to do a thing for the kingdom of God. We need to hold fast to the Bible, the gospel, and to the ministry and power of the Holy Ghost. And then for this church, we can certainly say they had the blessing of God. They had the favor of God, and they must not let that go. Don't do anything that would cause you to lose the blessing. Play it safe. I think that's the safest ecclesiology or church leadership possible. Play it safe. We live in an age when gimmicks come along and new ideas and notions and methods. Okay. We want to do what we can to reach men with the gospel. But God has ordained his church. And we believe in the regulative principle. It's what God has stipulated, not just what man concocts out of his modern business world thinking. It's what God has given us. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Preaching, teaching, prayer, and praise. But are we using the tools that God has given us? Do you support the preaching of the word? Now, you might say, of course I do. I'm here tonight. Do you pray for it? Do you get your shoulder under the wheel to encourage and strengthen? Will you come to the prayer meetings of the church and pray your heart out? That's holding fast. That's not surrendering. And that's how we keep the blessing of God. Now, in verse 12, we come to the eternal blessedness of overcomers for God. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Now here we have this parallel between the faithful man, woman on earth and how they fare in glory. And the question again is, does it matter? Will it matter how you served on earth? Will it make any difference if you were a pillar in the church or whether you were a wimp? Whether you were found faithful on the task or whether you were a shirker, will it make any difference then? As long as you get into heaven, even by the skin of your teeth, what does it matter? Well, here's a great promise. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Now, you know what a man or woman's testimony is in the church, if they are for years faithful, serving, consistent, prayerful, encouraging, ministering to the weaker. We call that man or woman a pillar in the church. And when you get to heaven, you're going to be a pillar there too. That means you're going to have a name, a testimony, and your works, they come with you. They come with you. Isn't that wonderful? That we enter heaven and our works don't go before us, the works follow us. And as we have served on earth, that testimony will be ours in heaven. You will see that we will have constant communion and he shall go no more out. When I first read that, I wrote down a one-way ticket. We're not coming back. We're not coming back to this world again. But I think it means something way more than that. It means we're going to have constant communion. Here on earth, our worship is sporadic. An hour or two in God's house, then we have got to get back to the material world and the things of earth. But in heaven, it's going to be unbroken worship. It's going to be Sunday all the time. It's going to be the glory of worship constantly. No more loss of communion. We won't be troubled by the flesh, troubled by pain and suffering, the troubles of this world. There'll be no temptation. There'll be no devil there. We will be free to worship day and night. And that's the hope, and that's the comfort of the Christian. You'll also see in verse 12 that we will be honored by God, and I will write upon him the name of my God. Now, God's name is his dignity, his honor, his character. Isn't it a great thing that God would share that with us? You call yourself a Christian tonight. Dare you take the Lord's name and say, I'm a Christ one? Well, in heaven, your name will shine with the glory of God, and the honor of God will be upon you. We're also told here in verse 12, right near the end, that the Lord will write upon us his new name. Now, you may never know the amount of scratching my hair I had over this one. The Lord will write upon us his own new name. And I would write down a list of commentators seeking for some light and wisdom. How do we understand the Lord will give us his new name? And I decided I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to look. And from here on, I'm going to look in the book of Revelation, the next big name that is attributed to the Lord Jesus. That's the one I'm going to preach. And so if you look at chapter 4, verse 8, you will see here that in the worship of the glorified Jesus, the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, is, and is to come. So what name are you going to choose? Holy. Holy. Now, I also discovered, when I go back to Philadelphia, and if you look at verse 7, the very opening introduction of the letter, that the Lord said, these things saith he that is holy. Now, the promise is that those who are overcomers, he will write his new name on us. The Lord is holy. He has righteousness unto the Lord as his signature. And he will give that name to you and me. We will be called righteous, holy. That is amazing. That is going to be so wonderful to stand in God's presence, not trembling, not feeling our shame and sin and unworthiness, but we're going to stand with all the holiness of Christ attached to our name and glorify him. Now, if you want the next name, it's Revelation 4, verse 11. And the next title that is given to the Lord, Thou art worthy. I'll take that one too. When we come in prayer, we always say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. We confess that we are unworthy. We confess that we are so quickly stained by sin in this sinful world. But when we get to heaven, we will not pray that prayer. We will be given the title worthy. Now, of course, Christ alone is worthy, but he shares his name with us. That's the love of Jesus. That's the affinity that we have with our elder brother, with the one who has given us his name. Here on earth, we're called Christians. In heaven, we will be holy and worthy. So to answer the question, does it matter how we live here on earth, whether we be overcomers or not? Does it matter whether we get to heaven by the skin of our teeth or whether we are found faithful when the Lord returns? Does it matter if we be a church that is favored by God, keeping His word, honoring Jesus' name? Well, this has answered itself tonight. And while we are not a perfect church, let us strive and let us pray like McSheehan, Lord, make me as holy as it is possible to be holy this side of glory. Do you pray like that? Do you pray for our church, for our ministry here, that we will have God's favor and power? Do you pray that we will become a shining testimony in the earth, that the light of Christ might shine forth? That ought to be the burden of every believer, that we may so serve and so glorify the Lord. I don't need to conclude anything more. I just want to be in a church like Philadelphia. I want to be in a church where I can experience the love of the Savior. Do you? It would be a sad thing if you could come to the services of this church, go away out the door again and drive home and experience nothing of the deep, deep love of the Lord Jesus. That'd be sad. I know no two meetings are the same, and I know our moods and tempers are never the same, and I know the preaching's not always the same, and I notice there are many things that are weak, but through it all, the Lord loves us. Through it all, He wants to bless us. And He will one day present us in glory without fault. That's our burden. That's our passion.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gollaher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website, www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony DiDerno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when, once more, we let the Bible speak.